Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Can you believe it? Bo Nix is a Denver Bronco, and we are in a new era of Denver Broncos football. We got new uniforms. We've got a new quarterback handpicked by Sean Payton. We're going to break it down on the DNVR Broncos podcast. We got Super Bowl 50 champ Todd Davis, Henry Chisholm, you here, and yours truly rocking and rolling with you today. You guys all refreshed? Feeling ready to go? We're still a little tired after the long weekend.
It was a long weekend.
It was a long weekend.
And then, yeah, I go home to three kids. So yeah. It's not really like I got to rest up. You know what I'm saying?
I go home to try to find full video or full games of, like, Washington versus Utah, for example. And you spend, like, a half hour trying to find something that you can do. And then you realize, like, nope, we got the full three-hour version here. We're skipping ahead till we see Joan Ellis on the field and...
I hope there wasn't too much skipping that you had to do for the Broncos.
You have all the commercials, you have
the
offense, and then in between plays, there's like another 30 seconds, and it hasn't been my most fun process. I'm used to NFL guys where you have the all 22 cut up.
Right.
So just bang, 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 and they skip ahead till they're on defense again.
I can't imagine Jonah was able to do much against Penix since Penix gets the ball out so quick.
Yeah. Well, the big thing was the tackles. Because they have Fautanu, who is a first round, Rosengarten, who some thought could be, and I don't think was. But I would watch the UCLA game where he just like torched everybody. It was just every play is in the backfield. And then I watched that game where you got like big NFL tackles, and things honestly didn't go as well. But that's his weakness, is guys who are like 330 pounds, and they had a couple of them.
Well, and I can't imagine that Jonah Ellis did much against Oregon because Bo Nix also gets the ball out so quick.
Yep, that is also true. Like, there's a lot of plays where he's just like come around the edge, and you're like, oh, if he'd held the ball for another second, he would have gotten hit, but didn't hold the ball, so didn't get hit.
Yep, that's one of the things that Sean Payton pointed to that he loves about Bo Nix. And we know how much Sean Payton hated that Russ held on to the ball, so not surprised that he went the complete opposite direction from Bo Nix. Okay. How has your guys' stance on Bo or your feelings on Bo changed from the immediate reaction to now sitting on this for a few days and accepting this is the way the Broncos are going moving forward?
You know, my initial reaction was, okay, let's see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's still my reaction. I feel positive, like it'll go well for the most part, but I still want to see him in a Broncos uniform, running Sean's offense, understanding the verbiage, maybe making some checks, controlling the protection. Like, I still want to see how it all goes before I'm just like, you know, gung-ho, like, let's go, Bo. I think he'll do a good job, but still want to see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm not surprised your opinion hasn't changed because you're not like the emotional roller coaster that some of us are. And so, like, when I sit there with Dre and we talk through it, and you're like, oh my God, this guy's going to be incredible. And then you go back down and you're like, well, I mean, maybe. All we know is he's an NFL quarterback. That's at first I was disappointed with the pick because that's just not my favorite quarterback. A lot of game manager type stuff. But when you go back and watch, he really does convert. He makes the right decision way more often than almost any college quarterback would. He puts the ball on target almost every time he throws it. And so it's easier to get excited about that. I have kind of circled back a little bit back to where I started, where it's just like, okay, what do you expect from him? And you look around at like the comparisons people throw out, and it's like Tony Romo or more mobile Jimmy Garoppolo, I think was Bleacher Reports, or Andy Dalton is a very common one. And you look at it and you're like, yeah, maybe he is just that guy. But, you know, you haven't seen it. What you know is that he can be one of those guys, and the question is just whether he has enough plays in his arm to be more. And there's a chance that that happens, but I have kind of tempered my expectations. He's a starting quarterback for sure, but an elite quarterback, he has to prove it.
So would you guys take this? If I gave you this is Bo Nix's career once it's all said and done, a second team All-Pro, so an All-Pro once, four-time Pro Bowler, 1 year he leads the NFL in passer rating, completion percentage, and zero Super Bowls. Would you take that?
No.
I mean, the goal is to get to the big dance. I think that's what we want. I feel like he can achieve some of those marks. I mean, like, they're very similar to what he did in college as far as, like, passer rating and completion percentage, but it's all about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would do, like, even if it was one All-Pro, but two Super Bowls. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's
about. He could lead the league in interceptions every year if he gets a Super Bowl.
So then let's take the Super Bowl out. You don't know if he gets a Super Bowl, but I'm not guaranteeing that he doesn't get a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Four-time Pro Bowler, one-time second-team All-Pro. Would you sign up for that for Bo Nix's career? He doesn't get more than four Pro Bowls, but that's exactly what he gets.
I think right now I would definitely sign up for that. I mean, you think about the AFC with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, like, getting four means you're really balling. So I'm good with that.
Yeah, what would that mean? Because you have the top quarterbacks in the AFC.
Justin
Mahomes,
Herbert,
Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Tua. Who else? All right, is that it for the most part?
That's a good group.
I mean, it is a good group, but to your
point,
Todd.
Did you say Burrow?
Yeah, I did say Burrow. So
Zach Wilson? I'm kidding.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
that he would have to be better than like two or three of those guys in order to be in there four times. So you'd imagine he's always in that group. So yeah, I would sign up for that right now. But I totally see why if I throw in the no Super Bowls, you're saying, I can't sign up for that. But the reason I threw those out, that's Tony Romo right there.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the tough part is, like, if you 1 year you're the second best quarterback in the NFL, your second team All-Pro, you've got, what was it, three others where you're a Pro Bowler, which means you're top four or five probably in the AFC, depending on injuries and who qualifies. That would be a good outcome for the pick. Like, if you draft a quarterback and that's what you get out of him, that's definitely more than you expect from that quarterback. But, again, I would rather take my chances on Bo Nix than just say, give me that. I'll sign up for that right now because the goal is Super Bowls, you know? And I don't know. You might need to be better than, you know, four Pro Bowls in 12 seasons or hopefully 15 seasons he plays here to be a Super Bowl champion. And it's not guaranteed, but, you know, I don't think I'd put a ceiling on him, even if that ceiling is better than what will probably happen just when you look at the numbers.
I love it. So then we are setting a pretty high bar, but Sean Payton set an even higher bar, according to Adam Schefter.
Mm-hmm.
So right after the Broncos make this pick, Adam Schefter tweeted, Sean Payton wanted and intended to draft Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft when he held the 11th overall pick. We've all heard that story. He goes on and says he was ready to turn in the card, but before he could, the Chiefs traded up to the Bills spot at number 10 and took Mahomes one spot before Sean Payton got him, leaving the Saints to draft Ohio State cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. Here's the kicker. Payton feels as strongly about Bo Nix as he did Mahomes.
Mm. That's a strong statement.
Yeah.
And that little comparison has been there, I feel like, throughout the kind of the process, at least after the pick, you know. It's funny because everybody tries to find the next Patrick Mahomes when he's balling, John Elway when he's balling, Tom Brady. But it's not really like you find somebody that just comes right after him that's like, he's just like Patrick Mahomes, and that's why he's balling. I think these guys are kind of like one of ones.
Yep.
And I think Bo Nix can be his own one of one.
Yeah.
But I don't think like we can categorize him or try to make him seem like he's somebody else. Bo Nix has to play Bo Nix ball to be successful. And I think that's what he can do and will do.
Yeah. In terms of like the similar comps of players, no, they're very different in terms of players. And they're very different coming out of college too. Mahomes, his accuracy was questioned. There were a lot of things about his game. That's why he fell to the 10th pick. If everyone knew he was going to be Patrick Mahomes, everyone would have tried to trade up to the number one pick. And I don't remember who had the number one pick, but they wouldn't have traded it. Yeah, they would have said, we're going to take the next John Elway with this pick. Trubisky was the second pick then, I think.
Yeah.
Who was the first pick? Was it Myles Garrett? I don't know. But Myles Garrett? The Cleveland Browns would have said, Myles Garrett might be a Hall of Fame pass rusher, but we want the Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best that's ever done it. So their styles are very different, but also, come on. I'm you can be. I'm as high on Bo Nix as I think anyone. Uh-huh. I like the pick initially, and now I love the pick right now. But come on, let's not put this pressure expectation. Let's do more of like the okay. Let's be a Pro Bowler, a perennial Pro Bowler. Let's not go for like the next Patrick Mahomes. He was a 12th pick in the draft. He was a 6th quarterback taken. I think he can be better than the 12th pick in the draft. I think he'd be better than the 6th quarterback taken. But to say he felt as Sean felt as high as he did on Mahomes as mm-hmm. he does on Bo Nix, I'm just not buying it. Because if that's the case, then what do we say about Mahomes? You trade everything to get him? They would have done the exact same thing. So
I mean, they didn't trade everything to go get him, though. So they could feel the same, like Mahomes.
Right, right. But then he said he regretted it after.
He did say he regretted it.
But what I loved about this pick was they did not trade back.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't trade back. They didn't try to mess around. And George Payton, the guy that loves to trade back after the draft, said, you know, when we took a step back, we had offers to trade back, but was it worth gambling missing on Bo Nix for 2 fifth-round picks to move mm-hmm. back 3 spots? 100% right. That was not the move. So I love the pick, and I love it even more the further away we get from it.
Yeah, I think regardless of who puts the pressure there, there's going to be pressure on Bo Nix. This doesn't really change anything to me just because, you know, if look at Dak Prescott. He's done, like, more than anybody could have expected a third-round pick to do. He's, definitely. Like, MVP contender every year, gets his team to the playoffs every year, wins a bunch of games, puts up crazy numbers, and Cowboy fans still want to get rid of him. Like, that's just, like, the nature of the quarterback position is if Bo Nix turns out to, you know, be, like, a 50-50 Pro Bowler throughout his career, gets in, misses one, Broncos fans are going to want to get rid of him. Like, it might not be fair and it might not be smart, but that's just the pressure that comes with the position, because until you have, like, an elite guy, you're just in a tough spot. And so, I don't know. I mean, it might be tough for Bo to hear, like, I need to go be a Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback, but if that's not your attitude as your quarterback, saying like, I need to go be the best quarterback in the NFL, or like, you just need to have that sort of motivation regardless of whether you're saying it or others are saying it, because the bar is just so high.
So let's hear from Bo Nix mm-hmm. and what he had to say at his introductory press conference. Let's get to know the next franchise quarterback of the Broncos after I give a shout out to our friends over at PubPass. PubPass is going to hook you up. What it is it's an app and a program that gets you buy one, get one beers across the state. It gets you across the country, actually. It gets you $1 mm-hmm. beers, and it actually gets you free beers as well. So download the PubPass app to get these offers at more than 300 breweries and bars in the Denver metro area. It refreshes every 30 days, so you can go back and get that offer every single month, and you can really take advantage of this. It's just $5 a month, so it pays for itself the very first time you use it, and you can get way more uses than just one out of it. So make sure to download the app, and DNVR fans can get a one-year subscription for half off using the promo code DNVR. That's a year of access to the best craft beer app in the country for about $2 a month, which is crazy. So download the PubPass app now in the App Store or Google Play Store and use code DNVR when you sign up to get it at half off. I'm going to be doing this, probably starting this coming weekend.
Wow. Yeah. That does sound like a good time. We've got a cool new thing going with Bet365 where we're launching a 6-week giveaway. And each week you participate, you're eligible to win a bigger and bigger prize. And if you participated every single week throughout these 6 weeks, you get the biggest prize, which could be a lot of fun. I won't spoil what that is yet. But yeah, there's DMVR merch. There's an opportunity to jump on the podcast, all sorts of different stuff. And to start, you have to sign up, use the code DNVR365, and deposit a minimum of $10. So you snag a screenshot of your active Bet365 account plus a minimum $10 deposit. You send it to promo@thednvr.com. That's thednvr.com/bet365 for more information. At Bet365, they don't do ordinary. They've got the same awesome sign-up deals that they always have. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
We got a lot of people tuning in on the Toyota chat, rocking and rolling with us today. Hit us with a thumbs up. We really appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. And one more thing that you can do, which helps us out, and it's free, turn on the automatic downloads on the podcast app, whether it's Spotify, whether it's podcast. I know for the podcast side, it's in the top right-hand corner when you're on our page. Click that. Turn on downloads. It really helps us. And, of course, subscribe to this page as well. Okay, let's hear from Bo. Get to know the new Bronco. And here's what he had to say about joining the Broncos. You hear, dial up the Bo wanting to be a Broncos clip for us.
Right there on pick 12, I get a phone call. And just extremely excited and honored for it to be the Denver Broncos. And I truly can tell you this, if I could pick where I wanted to go, I was going to pick Denver because of the relationships that we had built throughout the process. I just felt like it was a great fit for me, and I'm just excited to get that phone call. And then after that, that's when everything really started happening fast. You know, it takes a long time for the draft to get here, but once it does, it happens quickly. And now, I'm already in Denver. And, speaking with you guys, so I'm excited. Already love the city. It's a pretty day outside, and just excited to be here.
You guys buy it? If you could have chosen anywhere to go, it'd been Denver.
I mean, I do. If you look at the landscape for a rookie quarterback, I mean, it looks pretty dim out there. Besides the Broncos, I mean, the Vikings of course have some good, wide receivers. A proven coordinator, that's great. But I think Denver has it all, from the city itself, the fans, the great ownership that'll pay you, what it needs to have the team where they want it to be, new facilities, great head coach, office coordinator. What else? Washington, the Patriots, like, I don't know.
Commanders.
Yeah. I think it's all about the Broncos. I believe them. If I was a rookie quarterback, I feel like the Denver is where I want to be.
Yeah, the Vikings would be the other one, just because Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and the offense has been so good. Hockenson. With O'Connell. Yeah, Hockenson there too.
But you have pressure there.
Yeah.
Kirk just left, and they had, they were putting together some numbers. And the Broncos, if you That's just true. Win us a couple, like, if you can win 9 or 10 games, like, you know what I'm saying? You got it, man. Like, you're the man.
There's also the fireplace in the locker room, though. How do you weigh that? Yeah. No, I think those are the two top options. I think J.J. McCarthy, in his introductory press conference, said that every quarterback he talked to in the process, they all agreed Minnesota was the place they want to go. Mm-hmm. So maybe Bo just never talked to JJ about it. And it was Jane Daniels and whoever else he was talking to. But yeah, I think, first of all, if he didn't say that, that would have been a horrible mistake, almost like not knowing the difference between a hockey game and a match. But yeah, I think I buy it. It might be like a 1A, 1B with Minnesota, but sure. Yeah, I'll give it to him. I'll say it makes sense.
Yeah, and I think when you look at weapons, okay, of course, Denver doesn't compare to Minnesota. But when you take a step back, and if he is viewing the big picture, kind of the things you outlined, Todd, yeah, then you can absolutely make a case for Denver. But the biggest selling point, I have to imagine, for a quarterback is Sean Payton, especially when he's the mold of Drew Brees. Like, if any quarterback is as similar to Drew Brees in this entire draft, it was Bo Nix in terms of how his game works, what he's comfortable doing.
Yep.
And so maybe I wouldn't buy it if Jaden Daniels said it, because, well, Sean hasn't had success with that type of quarterback, where running is half his game. But for Bo, that's exactly it. I mean, he is the Drew Brees profile. And I don't want to say he's the next Drew Brees, because that's a ridiculous amount of pressure and expectation to put on him. But that is his game. And Sean could get the most out of it and did get the most out of Drew. So I can believe it. I can believe it.
I feel like Sean's like going through his memory boxes and dusting off old like Saints playbooks. Like, I've been waiting to use you. I'm just so excited for this moment right now.
And Bo pointed to a couple of people. He pointed to Peyton as a resource that he wants to use. That's a good one to use. He said he's been working and around Phillip Rivers a lot this offseason. And then he said, I want to be around and soak up as much of Drew Brees' knowledge as possible. So there's going to be that connection there because of how similar they are, but then also Bo really wanting to be around Drew.
smart. I mean, that's smart, man. I think that's the best way you kind of elevate your game. You got to get around the guys that have done it and really learn. I mean, even as a podcaster, I learned so much from you guys.
Wow.
You
know,
it's helped me elevate my game. More so, there more we so go. Zach.
Well, I've learned how to be a linebacker, so I feel pretty good. I feel like I could light somebody up if I had to.
There we go.
I know my
go.
Responsibilities.
Was there any... Who did you mold your game around as a linebacker?
Or who did you
want to be?
I mean, everybody wants to be Ray Lewis as a linebacker. Like yeah. You know, without a doubt.
Especially, because he was like, when we were growing up, he was the guy.
Yeah, he was the man.
Like, and there's no argument, yeah. It's like Urlacher was like the number two, but Ray Lewis is just a dog. Yeah,
he's just in a class of his own.
Yep.
But just players that I was around and got to, like, talk to. And, like, Curtis Lofton was, you know, a veteran that I had in New Orleans. And then when I got here, I mean, Danny B. Marshall. I mean, all those guys were older than me. So I definitely tried to learn as much as I could to elevate my game. So,
any guys you were like, oh, no, I don't want to be you?
No, of course. Of course, there's a few, but we don't have to mention them here.
You know Peyton
you can
pretty
learn from
well.
The good and the bad from everybody. Huh?
Since you know Peyton pretty well, obviously being a teammate.
Yes.
How much do you think he's willing to talk to Bo Nix?
I don't think he's unwilling. I don't think Peyton's not a selfish guy. So I think if Bo reached out, I don't think he would.
If Bo wants to chat for an hour every Friday, you think Peyton's down for that? Or is that too much?
You know, Peyton has a lot of things he has to do. But I think he would give his time and his knowledge to Bo for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think he would. In fact, you said that if Bo reached out, Peyton already actually reached out to Bo. He reached out to Zach Wilson when Zach got to town last week. He reached out to Bo. And then he was also talking to Sean about both of these guys right after they picked him. So I think Peyton absolutely. In fact, we found out that Peyton's over at the facility, in George Peyton's words, all the time. Peyton's there, having dinner with them, hanging out, giving advice. They're allowing, or he allows them to pick his brain. So I 100% think that he would want it. And also, he doesn't want to be, I have to imagine, he doesn't want to be a quarterback coach. He doesn't want to be an offensive coordinator because he's kind of above all of that. So if he can, like, dip his foot in there, though, and give advice, I absolutely think he'd want to be a resource for that.
Also,
I've noticed that, like, most of the guys at the top or that reach the top or that get to a high level in whatever field, they have no problem going back and sharing wisdom. Like, I feel like those guys don't mind at all telling you, you know, what it took for them to get there, tell you little keys and tricks that they learned along the way. They're not going to give you all the keys to the kingdom, but most of the time, successful people do not have a problem, you know, going back and helping out the guys coming up.
It's like people that didn't make it there and maybe are a little more insecure about themselves or something?
I would say so, yeah. Mm. Yeah, because, even in any industry that you like, all the top guys go around and have conferences and meet with people and mentor. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a part of something you do, I feel like, when you get to a certain level that you, you know, share wisdom. That's what you do.
I also think, you know, when Peyton Manning said last week that the Broncos really like J.J. McCarthy, I was like, seems like he might be playing a little game or something here. Oh. After the way they talked about Peyton during all these press conferences, he was absolutely just saying that because they want Bo Nix.
Potentially. So let's hear from Bo again here. This was Bo talking about what it means to be handpicked by Sean Payton and how much pressure, but then also privilege that brings. Here's Bo talking about that.
Well, it's first and foremost, it's just a huge honor. He could have picked, you know, anybody else in this draft, and he chose me. But with that, you know, comes great responsibility, and one that I can't take lightly, and I won't take for granted. But you know, it starts with the next best thing that I can do. You know, I'm about to finish this press conference and go and finish out the tour, and then have a few weeks before the rookie mini camps, and then have a lot to learn before then. And so I'm glad there are 2 weeks of buffer time so that I can get a lot of that in. But just excited to be his guy. You know, that's it's not lightly said. And so, but again, it goes back. I don't want to just be a draft pick. You know, I want to be able to show my improvements and show that I can do what he picked me to do. And that's go out there and win games, or help win games, do whatever I can to put his team in a better situation.
Earmuffs. I'd be so fucking jacked if I was Bo Nix to be identified as Sean Payton's guy. That would give me, I mean, I'm sure Bo Nix, after dominating in college, knowing he was going to be a first round pick, wasn't lacking in confidence, But that would give me such another notch up and such a confidence boost coming into the NFL.
For sure. It gives you that step of approval, but also lets you know, like, we're in this together. Mm. Like, you chose me. You saw something in me. So if I do well, you do well. If I do bad, then it looks bad on you. So it lets you know that this is a true teamwork and partnership. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to have your back, and you have to have his back, and you guys should go together. Either up or down. So yep. It's good to know.
It is crazy how much Sean has at stake here too. Because like, if this doesn't go well, then you know, the 2026, 2027 season, somewhere right around there, he's just gonna be back on TV. Like, that'll kind of be the way his career wraps up. But if this all works with Bo Nix, like, you put in like these 4 years of work and things go really well, then you get to do the Andy Reid thing and just like sit back and do your little coach thing for another decade and a half, and then just win and win and win. It should be a pretty easy job, you would think, and then just ride off into the sunset. Because, I mean, you think about what would Andy Reid be if not for Patrick Mahomes? First of all, he'd probably be retired by now. He wouldn't have these most recent Super Bowls. He wouldn't have any Super Bowls. And so you would think that he would just be another, like, yeah, pretty good coach, like, did his thing. Like, Sean Payton has that opportunity, if things work with Bo Nix, to just, yep, I'm just the Broncos guy, and that's how I'm going to spend these last 15 years, and then get a little retirement in, and that's how my life's going to go.
The legacy is so massive for Sean right now, because he can become the first coach ever to win a Super Bowl with two different teams. That right there makes him one of the greatest of all time. Plus, then you add all the stuff he's done on the offensive side, and then it completely eliminates the, was it Drew? Was it Sean? Mm-hmm. It'll be just both. It'll be they were both great, and maybe actually even a little more, because Drew didn't do anything big time without Sean Payton. And if Sean really finds the next Drew Brees or even Tony Romo, that would be huge right there for him. So, I mean, this is a massive investment. I don't want to say gamble, because it's actually not that big of a gamble. Mm-hmm. It was one first-round pick. If they would have traded up multiple first-round picks, then it would have been a really big gamble. But this is a big investment for Sean. It's the first time he's ever drafted a quarterback in the first round. I think it's the highest drafted quarterback since Garrett Grayson, which I think was a third-round pick. They also had Ian Book later in the draft. But you're talking about minimal investments. It's the first time Sean's ever drafted a quarterback in the first two rounds of a draft, and he did this at number 12. So, Todd, you're absolutely right. This is, like, for Russ, there was no investment from Sean there. Yeah. None. And we could kind of see how it was like, I'm using leftovers for this meal here. Now Sean's the one that bought the ingredients, and he's cooking with his ingredients. If this meal turns out bad, it's all on him. He can't point to George and say, like, he bought rotten groceries. No, he's going to have to point at him. Well, he might not point at himself, but everyone else will be able to point at him and be like, no, this was on you, man. And also, not that this was a shock, but really talking to Sean and George for all 3 days after the draft, it was very clear. George gave all the information to Sean that he needed. He watched all the film and gave the information to Sean. Then they went out together and did their little world tour of seeing all the quarterbacks and going to all the pro days and going to all the private workouts. And Sean was the one that made this decision. This is in no way am I going to buy that if Sean wants to, if this doesn't work out, Sean's not going to be able to put this decision on George and have him take the fall, because this was very much a, okay, Sean, you found your guy. Let's do what we can to take him now.
Yeah, I think that's how it should be, though, to some extent.
Yeah.
I don't think every team is ran like that. But too often, GMs pick the best player on the board and bring him in and say, hey, you guys coach him up.
Right.
He doesn't fit our scheme. He doesn't really fit what we run. Really wouldn't have been my choice, but I got to try and do what I can to make this guy better. Doesn't end up working out. So I think it does fit best when the head coach, who is designing the game plan, specifically offensive coordinator, is designing the game plan, is able to pick his guy. Because, I mean, like you said, you could have went up and got Jaden Daniels. That would have been a great pick. But is that the best fit for Sean's offense? No. But you don't know that unless Sean's in the room and he gets to delegate, you know, kind of who we're picking. So I think it's going to be great. But like you said, the pressure is on. And it's like Sean Nix. It's like a
Wow.
Bo Payton, you know what I'm saying?
They're locked in. That's got a nice ring to it. I like it. So there's one other thing that I think I identified, the two major things that Sean liked about Bo. And I want to get your guys' take on one, if you agree with it, And two, if you're okay with this reasoning why they picked Bo Nix, but I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Breckenridge Brewery. You guys know about the farmhouse. You guys rocked it at the farmhouse last Thursday. It looked like it was bumping. Speaking of fireplaces, the fireplace they've got there is awesome. And if you can make it down to the farmhouse, make sure to go get Breckenridge Brewery. Delicious food as well and the beers. But if you can't make it to the farmhouse, you can get Breck beer all across the country by going to breckbrew.com. It'll tell you everywhere that you can get Breckenridge beer. So check them out. We love Breck beer. They're the official craft beer of DNVR.
Shout out to Raising Cane's. If you guys are watching the draft pod on Saturday, we were starving for some Raising Cane's. We did everything we could to try and get them. We even petitioned the chat to try and get you guys to bring us some. But nevertheless, on my way home, I made a stop, called wifey, made sure I got her order in. And it was, you know, phenomenal. The cane sauce, the chicken fingers, the two Texas toast, no coleslaw. Yep. Sorry, guys. But it was great. And if you're looking for cook to order, hand battered chicken fingers, race to Raising Cane's, turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster by ordering online at RaisingCane's.com or through their mobile app. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers sounds like it might need a pause in there.
Why?
I don't know.
What else do you turbocharge?
it's fascinating, but Raising Cane's is the best. Shout out to them for sponsoring all of our draft coverage
for sure.
As well. Okay, so I think it became pretty clear the two things that they kept pointing to, and it wasn't like intentional. It wasn't like these were the two things we identified, and that's why we drafted him. But it was something that right after they drafted Bo Nix, Sean Payton got on Pat McAfee and talked about. Then he talked about it on Monday or on Thursday night with the local media, and then they talked about it continuously throughout the rest of the weekend. The two things that really seemed to sell Sean on Bo was one, the private workout that they had. We know how Sean, he likes to do his private workouts late at night, the night before. He sends three packets of information to these quarterbacks, has them study it, then quizzes them on it the next day. And he sends an overwhelming amount of information to see, one, how much they're able to do, what their breaking point is in the meeting, and how they handle this stressful environment of a kind of a game planning at the last minute moment.
Yep.
And then he said he crushed it. And it knocked it out of the park. And then he also said the on-field workout that happened after, he was really impressed by his arm strength. Pretty much essentially said, I'm paraphrasing, but his arm is a lot better than people give him credit for. So the private workout was one thing. And then the second thing was analytics. Very analytic-driven for drafting Bo Nix. And, you know, the biggest knock on Bo from everyone was, well, he's completed so many passes behind the line of scrimmage, so many passes, 5 yards or shorter. Who knows what else he can do? So Sean had the analytics department at the Broncos go through every quarterback and take out the short and intermediate passes and just do deep and kind of deeper intermediate passes. And he said Bo finished number one or two in the entire class for deep throws in terms of accuracy, completion percentage, passer rating, all of those things. And then also pointed to analytics at the end of the half in the 2 minute warning and then end of the game 2 minute warning and said, he was the best. He was the best out there. Are you guys okay if those are the two biggest things that Sean leaned on? Because George even admitted, like, at the start of this process, once the offseason started, Sean didn't know much about Bo Nix. And so he wasn't grinding film throughout the season, which isn't a shock. He's very busy doing football things throughout the season. But to me, it was almost like the film was kind of secondary here. It was the private workout and these advanced analytics that really led Sean to fall in love with Bo.
Well, I think you can get a good grasp for somebody's game by, I guess, the numbers. I think you really can. And I think for Sean, especially offensive coordinators, like those moments that can really change a game are the end of the half, you know, the 4 minute drill or 2 minute drill. Those are the things that offensive coordinators love, and those are win or lose you games because, like we know in the NFL, games are decided by 3 to 7 points.
Yep.
It's not a lot of blowouts. So if he looked at those and saw that those were, you know, that he was good in those areas, I think that's an added bonus to just another normal rookie quarterback. And, of course, I feel like he has to look at some film. I can't say it.
Yeah.
I can't believe Sean was just not looking.
I agree.
What do the numbers say? Just show me the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if you pair that up with his film – he starts to look like a pretty good player.
Yeah, and I think there's, like, if you look at the deep stats, there's always more than just, like, what the numbers say. Like, especially outside the numbers, I think he completed 14 passes, 20 yards downfield outside the numbers last year. But when you go back and watch, a lot of those are, you know, he's a receiver's, like, coming back to the ball on a scramble drill. Or, you know, it's kind of like a crossing route where he's hitting a guy on the sideline down the field. Or, like, a deep comeback or hitch. So a lot of them, the receiver is almost like moving back toward the line of scrimmage, and those count as 20 plus yard throws and all that. But one of the things that I wished I had seen more of is him hitting receivers in stride down the field. And that's where I thought he was a little bit lacking. Again, I this is based on the four games I saw. I know you can definitely find plays where he hit him in stride. There was one in that stretch, but just the proportion of hits to misses, not what you want, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And that's something that can get cleaned up. Like, just because you're not hitting those in college doesn't mean you can't. And even on those, like, posts, he does a much better job. He's not perfect. Like, he left some touchdowns on the board for sure. But it's those outside the numbers. You beat a guy up the sideline. Can he hit him in stride? Or does he lead him out of bounds? Or does he overthrow or underthrow a receiver, has to bail him out? And that's the big one to me. So with the numbers, it's like, yes, you can categorize all these different spots. But there's a difference between deep route, broken play, receivers coming back toward the line of scrimmage, and, oh, he placed that perfectly over his shoulder as he's going downfield.
Just, yeah, hopefully Sean's not asking him to do that much, because he definitely wasn't asking that of Russ.
Yeah.
I think the deep balls that Russ completed, I mean, Marvin Mims had like two that early he hit on, in stride, but that was pretty much it.
Right.
Everything else was jump balls to Cortland, or it was like intermediate routes.
Yep.
So hopefully, or screens, a lot of screens, a lot of slants that got broken up or didn't get completed. So,
yep.
If they can live in that wheelhouse and be successful and just stay ahead of the sticks, I think it'll be a match made in heaven, but we got to see them do that.
And also, I think it would be terrible if Sean knows that Bo Nix's game is really the short stuff, but he learned from the analytics he can do the deep stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a total nightmare, or it would be totally on Sean if he came in and said, okay, we're just going to make you a deep passer. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's not who Bo Nix is. It's good to know that when asked to do it, he can do it at a high level, but that's not where he lives. He lives with great, great decision-making. Great decision-making, mainly short, but he can still make those deep throws. And so here's the analytics from PFF, which I imagine is very similar to the analytics that Sean looked up. Behind the line of scrimmage, 28% of his attempts were behind the line of scrimmage. He had completed 95% of his passes, 700 yards, 5 touchdowns, no incompletions, and according to PFF, a passer rate or a grade of 76.7. That's fine. Like 95% of your passes behind the scrimmage, that's probably what it should be. Short, so 0 yards to 9 yards down the field. 39% of his attempts were here, and this is the most of his attempts were in this spot. Completed 82% of his passes for over 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, a PFF grade of 78. Okay, you'll take it. Medium, to between 10 and 19 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. 20% of his attempts were in this zone. He completed 64% of his passes for 14 touchdowns and 1 interception, a PFF grade of 92.9. So really good there. And then deep, 20-plus yards, 11% of his attempts were in this range, 53% completion, 11 touchdowns, 1 interception, a 95.9 PFF grade. So at least the PFF grade show, the further he goes down the field, the better his PFF grade gets.
How does that calculate it? Because is it bumped by the touchdowns? Because it seems like his percentage, he was throwing less of those passes, but then hitting at a lower mark.
Right.
But then had a better grade.
Right.
But maybe it's just the touchdowns that really.
I mean, I would imagine, like on a screen, the receiver's just right there. Do you hit him or not? And I don't know how many points you get for just hitting the guy there, you know?
Right. You think you get more like style points? Like street.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That is kind of strange, though.
But for to be completing 54% of your passes, 20-plus yards, you will take that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, of course, throwing the ball downfield, you're probably going to have more touchdowns than when you're throwing it behind the line of scrimmage there, too. So, but I think those are kind of the facts that Sean looked at and said, damn, this guy. And Sean was saying not just, like, good PFF grades. He was saying, The analytics were the number one in the class, better than Caleb Williams, better than Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I mean, that completion percentage will do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, the 54%, 20 plus yards.
Well, just like the 77% as like a starting point, or like the yards per attempt that comes from that. Like a lot of those, that's what's going to be built off of. It's like if you have the most yards per attempt of anybody, you're going to really have to tank some other areas to not be more efficient.
But
you know?
Sean was saying, he was
breaking it down.
Number one.
Number one deep only?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, when he dove into those deep analytics too. And again, maybe it's because Bo didn't do it as much. Mm-hmm. So it was easy. I don't know. I don't even know if that you could make the case for that, that he didn't do it as much so it was easier. And Bo was asked about the criticism surrounding his game of he completed a lot of short passes. Yeah. And he said, quite frankly, I completed a lot of deep ones, too. Mm-hmm. So I kind of love that. Bo was, I got to say, I was very, very, very impressed with him in his opening press conference. You can tell that he's 24 years old, that he's married, that he's been to multiple different schools playing football. He is a mature guy.
Yep.
And I think that's going to help him not just transition and potentially be a week one starter, but I think it's going to help him in the locker room as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be maybe the complete opposite of a Caleb Williams entering a locker room where, if I'm a Bears fan, like the talent's there for Caleb, the things I continue to see from him are concerning to me. Did you guys see his phone call that he had with the Bears when they told him they were picking him? I don't know. I did not get great vibes from that. Now, those phone calls don't make or break your career, obviously, but Bo's like the complete opposite. I get the complete opposite vibes from him in a really good way. But I love that answer. Like, quite frankly, I've completed a lot of deep ones too. Because he's got a little a-hole in him if he needs to.
Confidence, baby. I know what I can do.
Also, so like just looking at the deep numbers, this is why those don't add up to me is like Jaden Daniels completes 64% of his deep passes, 24.5 yards per attempt.
Are you calling Sean Payton a liar?
I would never. But also Jaden Daniels, 20 yards downfield, 22 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So like no,
he said one or two, though.
No flaws there.
Sean said one or two.
Okay, so he gets that one.
I actually think for that one, he said one.
Okay. So then, like, you look at Bo on those deep passes, drops from 64 from Jaden to 51. Yards per attempt, 24.5 to 19.6. 22 touchdowns, 0 interceptions to 13-2. So like, I just don't know where those numbers would come from, but I'm sure they have a great analytics department, so we can also I'll just believe it.
Yeah, pull up all the deep throws. Okay, take out all the interceptions.
I know.
And remember, I want to like Bo, so draw these stats up for me Skeet like that.
Yeah, like because even like if you wait by opponent, you wouldn't think that would make a difference, because like half those Pac-12 defenses are shaky, you know, versus those SEC defense that are pretty good across the board.
Yeah.
Like, you could throw out the Vanderbilt game, I guess. I don't even know if they played him, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. If they love him, I'm not going to say don't love him. I just don't think that is necessarily a strength.
There's one thing Bo does need to work on, though, and he even admits it. Let's hear it in this answer when he was talking about the Denver sports scene here.
Yeah.
Especially this past year, watching Jokic and the Nuggets tear it up on the court. I love watching basketball, always enjoyed it. I grew up playing it, and so now, you know, I feel really excited to be able to go watch them play, hopefully soon. I know the Avalanche is really good. I hear I'm not necessarily a huge hockey fan, but I'll go watch a game or match. I don't even technically know what they call it. But I'm excited and, you know, just embrace it all, especially this past year.
Bo, just stop when you're ahead. Man, he was watching Jokic and the Nuggets tear it up on the court.
Yeah.
Great. I don't think anyone would have been like, wonder if he's a big Avalanche fan and goes to a lot of matches or not. Mm-hmm. But no, that was that was funny. Showed that he's human, where I think fans are like to see that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Russ ever would have like admitted that he didn't know what a hockey game was called. He just always wanted to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Always
mm-hmm.
wanted to be Mr. Perfect, robotic at times. So that was kind of a fun moment there to see a little personality.
But yeah, and I think that shows that he is comfortable.
Yeah.
He's not like scared in the, you know, the spotlight.
Yeah.
He's okay even making a joke at his own expense because mm-hmm. I'm here, I'm the starting quarterback. I feel comfortable with myself. It doesn't feel like he has to put on for anybody, so it just feels authentic. And it feels like it'll translate well in the locker room.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, there's never been an NHL player from Arkansas, so You don't expect him to be a hockey guy.
They're never?
Not one. You've got two from Montana.
Only two?
Just saying. Yeah, well, I'm just saying. We beat Arkansas in that, too.
We probably have more than that from California.
56.
Come on, baby.
Wait, like ever?
I think
only
ever, yeah.
56 people born in California have ever made it to the NHL?
These do seem low. It said NHL player. Well, let me double check.
Maybe like in the league right now.
That might be.
I could buy that. California.
Let's see.
Football, baseball, basketball.
You got to imagine hockey. There's hockey, too. Yeah.
Hockey, whatever you want, baby. Yeah. Soccer, yeah, here. I got you.
So what throws me off is that, like, when you click on the Montana tab, one of them is Bill Lindsay, who played 1992 to 2004.
Oh.
So you don't have any recent people.
No, we got Jake Sanderson. He was a first-round pick a couple years ago.
There we go.
Yep, he's still playing.
Do you guys know Bo Nix's hometown?
Yeah.
Do you know that off the top of your head?
Arkadelphia. Hmm. They won Philadelphia, but that was, Arkansas version. Yeah,
yeah, so they're, exactly. They just made an Arkansas version.
Arky cheesesteaks.
Arkadelphia.
Yeah.
Is it like a... That has to be like a small city, right?
I think so.
Small town?
I think...
What do they call them? Towns over there?
Yeah, what it's 10,000 population of 10,000. They probably should invest in an illegal pizza though, because that would give that town the best margaritas, the best queso, the best burritos, the best tacos. I had illegal pizza last week and I had to indulge in a quesadilla because their quesadillas are also the best. Throw some pinto beans, throw some veggies in there, and then you get to dip it in their delicious guac. Also, sour cream, salsa. They've got it all over at Illegal Pete's. And it's patio season this week, so if you want to get out to a patio, Illegal Pete's has the best patios, margs, beers, burritos, anything. They've got it, and it's the best. So check them out, including in Colorado Springs, where they have a new location. So now they're in Fort Collins, obviously Denver, Boulder, and now the Springs, they're spreading all over Colorado in this region. So check them out if you want the best margaritas. This one is located in downtown Colorado Springs. Stop by the historic Illegal Pete's to get your fix of burritos and margs. Check them out. Illegal Pete's, your spot for burritos, buddies, and beer.
And check out the DMVR bar, events, and social. You definitely want to check us out. We got a lot of good things coming up. And in particular, you can join Susie Hunter, the DMVR crew, and other diehards to watch the Rockies take on the Philadelphia Phillies in a suite at Coors Field on May 26th at 1:10 p.m. The takeover includes a pregame at the DMVR bar, party bus ride to Coors Field with free Breck brews, tickets to the Rockies, Phillies, and Suite 7, unlimited food and beverage throughout the game, and a bus ride back to the bar. There are very, very limited tickets, so get yours today. At the event page, you can go to thedmvr.com. And also, if you're looking for nuggets and avs, follow the DMVR Bar Insta account and make sure you set your notifications on for DMVR nuggets and DMVR avs to learn about details. To learn details about this year's playoff games hosted at the DMVR bar, stay up to date on all events by visiting thedmvr.com.
Also, this list was right. Just
zero hockey players from Arkansas ever. But
I realized when I saw 2,400 from Ontario, because Canada, that would be 80 per team. So then I don't think every team
What's
has
Colorado?
80. 19?
Like, 19 also professional hockey. I think there's something wrong with this.
I don't think nobody.
I mean,
the thing is that the NHL, a lot of them come from like Russia, Canada. They have a lot of like Minnesota.
I don't. Yeah. I don't buy this at all.
My neighbor's son was on the. I can't tell you his name, but my next door neighbor there, they moved, but they built like a whole hockey rink in their basement.
Oh wow!
For their son, and he made it to the NHL.
Wow! There it worked out.
There are seven in the NHL right now with Troy Terry, Jacob Slavin, Brendan Lemieux, Nolan Foote, Cal Foote, Michael Easemont, and Brandon Carlo.
So you're telling me there's only been 12 other ones from Colorado that have ever made it to the NHL?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. So there was no NHL team before 96.
Yeah.
Like, there was the Colorado Rockies before, but...
It's true.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the hockey scene just blew up.
Wow. That's kind of wild. Okay, let's see if we're going to agree on this or if we think it's going to be wild. Who's going to be the Broncos' starting quarterback Week one, Broncos now have four quarterbacks on the roster. I would imagine this is going to be the four that go into camp, that go in to battle it out for the season. And we asked Sean this right after drafting, and he really dismissed the question. He said, you know, it'll all work itself out. So to me, that says it absolutely is a quarterback competition going into training camp. Who do you think it'll be?
I'm going to put my pick in as Bo Nix.
Yeah.
The thing that Sean loved about him was his mental capability, and his ability to even learn three packets that he sent him the night before. I think the thing that stops rookie quarterbacks from getting on the field is not the physical ability, but it's the mental side of the game and understanding the plays, checks, and just understanding how to operate in a NFL system. So if he showed the ability to do that in such a short time period, I think that over time, especially the course of training camp, I think he'll be able to show that more and more, and that will lead to him being the starter week one.
Yeah, I think, like, I would put my life savings on Bo Nix being the starting quarterback week one.
Wow.
Like, I mean, he has weaknesses, but we've said all along he's potentially the most pro-ready quarterback of any of these, with the conversation being Caleb Williams because he can just solve any problem he gets himself into. Like, if you read the scouting report from Dane Brugler of The Athletic, like, the weaknesses category, the top weaknesses are his process gets frantic and stuck in overdrive at times. He breezes through progressions too quickly from the pocket, would benefit from added patience to see routes coming open. Like, he flies through too fast. Like, with rookie quarterbacks, it's usually, like, he can't get from one to two to three. With him, it's that they need to slow him down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it would be a different situation if there was somebody to really push him. But the Broncos don't have anybody who should be better at, like, the simple just running the offense things. So I don't see how he wouldn't be the starter unless something really crazy happens. Like, he would have to show up to training camp and just throw, like, two picks a day. Meanwhile, Zach Wilson is just, like, completing every single pass, hitting deep balls to the point where you're just like, this doesn't make any sense, but we have to go with Zach Wilson here.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you guys. I think he is 100% in the driver's seat right now. And I think that Sean not kind of giving any hint who's in the driver's seat points to it being Bo. I don't think 2 hours after drafting Bo, he wanted to come out and say Bo's our starting quarterback. But typically what happens, and I think what's happened around the league, is the rookies come in and the head coach says, yeah, we're going to go with the veteran right now, let this young guy go. The fact that Sean didn't say that, I think, just speaks volumes. Really, when you look around, he should easily be able to beat out Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. I think Bo has to fall on his face in training camp to lose this job, and especially because what you said about him as a processor and a decision maker, that's typically the hardest jump for people, and that's maybe Bo's biggest strength right now. And what analysts are saying about Bo, national analysts, is that he needs to work on his arm strength. Okay, well, he can do that as he plays. He can do that. One thing that you can't really do on the fly is learn how to process quick, learn how to pick up information. I think Bo is going to do that. Plus, Zach Wilson needs this football rehab so much, just like Sam Darnold needed it. So he went and was the backup in San Francisco for a year and clearly benefited from that. And the Vikings think he benefited from that to pay him $10 million.
Yep.
That's what Zach Wilson needs. He should not be thrown in this mix. This should really be a competition of, like, can Bo Nix beat out Jarrett Stidham?
Yep.
And Bo should be able to do that. And plus, in this situation, if it's a toss-up, and it might be a toss-up, you go with the young guy. Like, Bo has to be noticeably worse than Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson to not get this job.
Yeah, I agree.
And then so I think the competition is going to be at backup between Bo and Jarrett Stidham, and kind of like, or not Bo.
Yeah,
gotcha. Jarrett and Zach Wilson, and kind of like with Bo. Zach Wilson's in the driver's seat for that backup spot because the Broncos save $5 million in cap space if they move on from Jarrett Stidham. He's going to count $7 million against their cap if he's on the team, and only $2 million in dead cap. That's $5 million that you can open up for savings for next year when you kind of really want to make a push with Bo as your quarterback going into year two. Man, that's going to be tough for that. Zach Wilson's going to have to be way worse than Jarrett for them to keep Jarrett, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a chance they keep all three. I think
definitely
when you're in a situation like this, I still haven't gone through, like, the whole roster to see, like, if you cut it down to 53, which guys aren't really in the picture right now. And maybe you do look at it and say, like, this 53rd guy, like, we got to keep him, so we're only keeping two quarterbacks. But if there's ever a time to keep three quarterbacks, it's in this situation. And, like, it's nice to save the $5 million at the same time, though. Like, investing an extra $5 million bucks into quarterback isn't the end of the world, you know? And if you come to a situation where you think Jarrett Stidham is useful to be in the quarterback's room, ask good questions, whatever the situation might be, I think the money isn't like a non-factor, but I think that they can look past it now that they've kind of gotten themselves into decent cap shape. They aren't going to be pressed to cut somebody for cap savings. Mostly they need to do whatever they can to make Bo Nix work out. If they think having Jarrett Stidham around helps, which wouldn't surprise me at all compared to Zach Wilson, then they'll do what they have to do.
Yeah, I actually think this has been an awful week for Jarrett Stidham. I think he's gone. Don't think he makes the final roster. Because the Broncos, we had the conversation, like, why did the Broncos trade for Zach Wilson 3 days before the draft? What was the timing up? Were they trying to throw people off their scent about wanting a quarterback in the draft? And in reality, the deal had been done for a month. They just had to push one last thing over the edge, and that was getting the Jets to pay half of his salary. And that was, from my understanding, that was a bigger deal than just the GM could control. That went all the way up to ownership on the Jets side of being able to accept, we're going to pay $2.75 million for our number two overall pick to not be on our team. And that just took about a month. This deal was in the works for a while. The Broncos wanted this deal to happen a long time ago. I think it's just a bad sign for Jarrett. Hopefully we're not talking about the backup quarterback. Hopefully it's just all about Bo Nix, and I think that's what it's going to be all about. And we're on the exact same page with that.
Yeah, they were worried about paying $2.5 million. We're paying $40 million.
George is rolling his eyes at the Jets owner, man. Being like, what are you doing? Come on, dude.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what is it. Woody Johnson, is that the owner of the Jets?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know where he gets his money from.
I don't know either. I know that we can, he's a crazy guy.
I know where you're going. Yeah. And that I think is gonna do it for us today, all about the quarterback. But the rest of this week, we're gonna dive in to the rest of the Broncos draft class, where there's some really interesting guys, maybe even some interesting guys that are going to have big roles this year. But before we get out of here, got to hit our super chats. First one coming in from Jacob, who says, it feels nice to have a quarterback who's one of the boys and not a full-time celebrity. That probably doesn't matter if he's going to be good or not, but it's refreshing.
I get the refreshment of it, but also if it works out, he's a full-time celebrity. Like, you just look through all the guys. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he's good. He's a full-time celebrity. Like, you just kind of get to that point where State Farm says, hey, we'll give you $5 million to film all these ads for us. You don't say no, and it'll be annoying, but
yeah, it is what it is. I see what you're saying, but I also see what Jacob's saying. Like, Drew Brees still felt like a human, a real person, relatable in the locker room.
Got Russ struck just, by that lightning, though.
That's true. That did happen. But, like, Russ just felt like on a different dimension, which I believe could probably happen, too. But, like, Peyton still felt like he was one of the guys when he was in the locker room. And then he went off and did, you know, 500 commercials and made tons of money doing that separately. But at least from an outside perspective, Todd, to me, I do see a difference there.
Yeah, there's two levels of stardom. I think there's sports stardom, and then there's, like, entertainer stardom. And I think, you know, with the marriage to Sierra, he definitely fell more into the entertainment stardom. So it just felt a little bit different than, like, a Peyton or even a Tom Brady when he was in the locker room. Was definitely a star, but in the locker room, he was still one of the locker room guys, you know what I'm saying? So it just feels different. I think it'll feel different overall.
Yeah. Next one from Mile High Sign says, Lavelle Bailey, an undrafted free agent linebacker from Fresno State, is a great pickup. Yeah, Broncos did not draft an inside linebacker, and they're only bringing two in as undrafted guys. That one, and then Alec
Mack?
Mack, yeah. Alec Mack from Air Force they're bringing in. So really, they must like the group they have since they're rolling – with pretty much the guys they had going into the draft.
Never sleep on their own drafted guys, though.
That's true.
And the Broncos got some really good ones. Got, like, Blake Watson. Remember Sean was saying there were a couple of running backs we liked in the fifth round that we were planning on getting. But then, like, we didn't expect Estime to be there, so we drafted Estime.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Watson from Memphis, I think, was one of those guys because they made him the highest paid free agent in the NFL. And he's tied with a couple of guys, but highest paid in the NFL.
At how much?
255, I think. 255 guaranteed.
Then he's the second. Because the CSU corner.
No, they both got 275. I thought they matched.
Was it?
Well, I thought the corner got 300.
Which one?
No, he got 255. Xavier. I'm curious. Yeah, we'll have to go back and check. When did that come in? Was that late?
Yeah, it was yesterday. So not Saturday.
So maybe. Yeah, no, that could be.
Yeah.
So Watson got 275. And then who were you talking about?
Blake Watson.
Yeah,
he got 275, and then
The corner from CSU, Ian Rappaport was the one to announce it.
I remember seeing that one too.
Let's see.
I think Kliss tweeted it also.
Probably that would make sense. With the Colorado connections.
Yeah, he's not on this list.
While you look that up, the other one I love, Thomas Yasmin from Utah. So he's a tight end.
Yeah.
He's a rugby player. He was playing college rugby over there. Utah found him, gave him a scholarship. Basically, in his first 4 years at Utah, had one catch for 6 yards, just didn't use him. Then the next year, the numbers weren't crazy. He only had 13 catches. Went for 25 yards a catch. Mm. Six of those 13 were touchdowns because he just runs guys over. Like, they can't tackle him. This year is supposed to be his breakout year, and he got hurt.
Mm.
So I think more likely than not, he's on the roster week one.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's my one.
That's your one. Love it.
Thomas Yasmin.
Broncos paid a ton of money to undrafted guys. So. Yeah,
they did. It was crazy.
And also, to your point, Todd, obviously, you being an undrafted inside linebacker, the Broncos' best inside linebacker on the roster right now, Alex Singleton?
Undrafted.
Yeah. So maybe it's smart. Don't use resources at positions where you can find just as good as undrafted guys. All right. Bryden Troy says, what are your thoughts on the cornerback from Missouri? And besides Bo Nix, who is another player you're excited to see that we drafted?
Cornerback from Missouri is awesome. He's small, which could be kind of the downfall. A lot of people like him in the slot. The more I look, the more I like him on the boundary where he doesn't have to worry about breaking both ways. I think he's better when he just has to worry about the inside. He can kind of use that outside. Super bursty, crazy productive. Like, I would be surprised if he beats out Riley Moss and Damari and all those guys, but he'll have a chance. We'll talk more about those guys tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
Most excited, that's Audric Estime by a mile. Like, I don't even think there's a conversation. Like, that's... A couple months ago, we were saying, like, he should be, like, a second-round pick, maybe third-round pick. He is a freak. Like, he is big. He's fast. He could dunk when he was 12, and he isn't 6 feet tall. I think by the end of the year, that's the starting running back. And he's run such a fun way that he is by far who I'm most excited to see.
I love that. And I'm going to go with someone else, Troy Franklin.
Come on.
We saw that the Broncos really, really limited Marvin Mims last year. That's not the norm for Sean Payton, though. He is used to having rookie receivers have a massive role. That's why it was so shocking about Sean being the one and admitting he was the one that was limiting Marvin. That's not going to happen with Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin's going to have a massive role on this team, and I'm excited to talk about him later this week.
Troy was my guy, too.
Yeah.
I just feel like it would be unnatural for him and Bo to be on the field at the same time and him be not Bo's first look.
Yeah.
It's just natural. You know, it's going to happen. So I think he'll put up some good yards because of that. So I'm excited to see.
Tough part, though, when the end of the season, when Sean was saying, well, Marvin plays the same position as Jerry, so that's tough. Troy Franklin plays the same position as Marvin, too. So now that just creates, like, a weird dynamic. And maybe you shift one of them into the slot more, but somebody's blocked again, which isn't the end of the world. Like, go get talent if you can go get talent. But it'll be kind of interesting to see how that all breaks.
Sean can't do that. Sean can't be limited by just, like, the same player playing the same position.
He was last year.
I know, and he's got to change that. Again, I'm going to give him one pass because in the past he's shown that he can really work different ways. Jacob says again, he says, Sean has said more positive things about Bo Nix in the past 4 days than he said about Russ in 12 months. Yeah. Sorry, Russ. That's why the Broncos literally are paying $85 million in dead money for Russ not to be here.
Yep.
Austin Locker finishes us out and says, let's go, Bo. By the way, thank you, Atlanta. Thanks to Todd and Henry's faith in Michael Penix. I bet him to be a top 10 pick at plus 2,000.
That's a cool flex, but Dre got him at plus 4,000 to be number 8 overall. So
wow.
Yeah, he could have doubled it if you listened to Dre instead of us.
So he bet on Atlanta doing the crazy thing. They are getting crushed for it as well. That'll be fun to kind of take a look around the league, maybe AFC West, other things like that later in the week to see how things are going. We got a very busy week. You're not going to want to miss this. We've got James Palmer rolling with us, Baldy later in the week, and then maybe some big time coach appearances as well. So stay tuned to that. Hit us with a thumbs up on the way out. You know we'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Fly.